Looking inside myself, what do I see? I'm empty inside. She was a part of me. Now that she's gone, will I ever be complete? Maybe I should look for her. Or maybe I should retreat. To the time when we were young and the future was bright. And hold on to her and hold on tight. Never let anything come between us or let life get in the way. But here I'm left standing, alone, for today. God only knows, Mr. Wilson used to sing. I already know he's right about one thing. Well, life would still go on. No truer words have been spoken. The fact still remains that I am still broken.
Hello, sweet one, and welcome to The Power of Me Today, where I ask what positive change we can make today, and to remind you that before you can love others, you have to love yourself. Before you can do good in the world, you must do good for yourself. The Power of Me Today will help you with that goal. Write in and share your story. And for any new listeners, this show started off with me telling people bedtime stories and giving them words and tips on how to create calm and confidence in their lives. But it is now so much more than that. It is your voice being heard, telling your story, and helping to give comfort to others. So in this cold, overcrowded, and yet lonely world, at times you can find warmth and connection in another's message. These stories are from people just like you and me, people who started off life in much the same way we all did, but then something along the way created a struggle. And from that struggle, they found the power in themselves to turn the negative into a positive future. And this struggle in today's episode has to do with relationships and what happens when the happily ever after fairy tale is yanked from your fairy tale ending. And I have with me today a man who is a fine musician, a songwriter, and a poet. The man who you just heard a moment ago pouring his heart out in a rhythmic expression of his soul. This man was happily married. But then...
I went through a painful divorce, and it's always tough to start over again.
How long were you married?
I was married for almost 16 years.
How long did you know your wife before you were married?
11 years.
So you felt very comfortable with her?
Yeah, I would say so. At the time, she was. I also grew very close to her family. So when we went through the divorce, it was like I was divorcing her family, too. That was tough because when I went through my divorce, we both lost our jobs at the same time. So you had this struggle of being unemployed, being divorced, and then wondering like how you're going to provide for your family because you're still, I'm still in that capacity as the breadwinner,
Divorce is so hard. Did you have any kids?
Yeah, we had two kids. We still have two kids.
How did you deal with all of this? How did you turn something so negative into something so positive?
It's funny. I had a hard time dealing with it because while looking for a job, I felt like every door that I tried to open was closed to me. A lot of people that said they could depend on me weren't available. It's like nobody wanted to know me anymore. So I went through job to job looking for, the right fit. And then by the grace of God, I found something that was completely different from my area of expertise. And I seem to have found my fit there. But along the way, I found a wonderful girl that I knew from my past. And it was a long time coming. Like I never forgot about her, and you know, she really helped me through through the tough time. But unfortunately, like you know, life happens. We broke up recently, and I had to start over again.
So when you were first going through the divorce, what is an adjective to describe the process you were going through?
I think the biggest adjective to describe myself would be I felt like I was a failure. You know, I was one of those guys that really enjoyed being married. I love the fact that I was committed in a relationship. I had you know, the adult responsibilities of for family. I loved my family to death. And unfortunately, you know, it just didn't work.
When you met this other woman that you knew from before, did you at any time feel that you would never be happy again until, of course, you found her? And what gave you the courage to look for love again?
Well, that sort of fell in my lap. It wasn't planned. You know, our paths just happened to cross at that moment, and it blossomed from there. So it's not like I went out to like say, okay, I'm going to start again. I'm going to make a fresh start. I'm going to find somebody that I'm going to find my soulmate and my best friend. It just worked out that way.
Do you think having it fall into your lap helped to ease your mind? Took a lot of the pressure off? Because at the moment, you had so much on your plate with the divorce and finding a job. Did this make it easier?
Yes, without a doubt.
Now the two of you are no longer together, am I correct?
Yes.
But you didn't let this setback stop you from moving forward and finding positive in a negative. You were able to find the power in yourself to make a positive life. I know that because I saw the positive in your Facebook post, and I was hoping you might share that.
Well, it's funny that, you mean, when you saw my post, you got positivity out of that? That's interesting to note because, you know, with this breakup, obviously, it didn't go very well. There was a lot of words that were unsaid, a lot of things that we just don't talk anymore. You know, we went from being best friends to this. And I felt like I needed to put something out there or some way to get my feelings across, and knowing that it's falling on deaf ears. It was something that you'll never see. So, you know, I'm a musician as well. And, you know, I have a creative side to me. I just felt like writing. So I would look at pictures on my camera roll, and I would just freeform my thoughts and just put it down on paper. And it just flowed out of me. And the ironic thing to me is it's something that's really personal to me and something that I'm struggling with. And there's a lot of pain behind it. But I don't know if you read some of the comments, people who actually were inspired by it. They got something out of it. And I was like, wow, that's something. People are inspired by my pain, which is a good thing. You know, if there's anything positive to take away from that, that's what I take away from. You know, that's what I draw strength from, that I can put something out personal. And you know, Facebook, people are quick to judge. And some people, what is this, you know? But it's something I found in me. And now people are asking me, oh, what are you going through? A couple of guys asked me if I want to write some songs with them because they're stuck on stuff. They want me to write stuff for them. I'm like, I don't know if I have that in me. This is just something that's like self-therapeutic, you know, just therapeutic for me. It helps me. But yeah, maybe one day I'll sit down and do something with it. But right now I'm just using it to help me, and it's actually helping other people. And that to me is shocking and rewarding at the same time.
What do you see toward next steps?
Next steps? Well, obviously I'm in a grieving process right now. I mean, it gets easier, as time goes on, you know, the acceptance part, you know, it's just hard because this hit me harder than divorce because we have a lot of mutual friends. You know, we were in a band together. That's probably going to end. I haven't made that official yet, but I just can't see continuing a band situation and working with somebody that I used to be really close with. I don't know where I'm going to go from here, but all I know is I need to keep moving forward. That's it. That's something that was always ingrained in me, you know, and, you know, the exercising and taking care of myself, that goes along with it, because mentally I'm shot. Physically, I feel great, you know, and that's, and I intend to continue that, because that I think, you know, they go hand in hand. I need to, at least I can control that. I have a very physical job. I try to, you know, I'm a little bit older, you know, I'm 54 years old, and I pride myself that I can keep up with the younger kids at work, you know, and that I serve as a benchmark of where people should be when it comes to the work. So, yeah, that's about it. I don't know what the path is. I just keep moving forward and just following my instincts and following my heart.
What advice would you give to somebody going through this as well?
Not to be so hard on yourself. You know, sometimes, you know, you do everything you can, and, you know, it's easy to have regrets, you know, to come up with things that, well, I should have done this, I should have done that. But it is what it is. If you always follow your heart and your instincts, you didn't do anything wrong, you know. You can learn from it, you know, if you made a bad decision here and there. But I had a lot of guilt, you know, my marriage failing and even this past relationship ending. You know, I hold myself accountable. What did I do wrong? That's okay. But, you know, give yourself some credit too, you know, that you did some good things, and, you know, and give yourself some credit that you had some good times, you know, not to live in the past, but at least you had that.
Thank you for sharing your story. And if you're listening to this episode and are going through the loss of a loved one, whether it's a breakup, a legal separation, divorce, or death, please know that you must continue to move forward, just as my guest today did. Things may seem impossible to handle at the time, but trust me, you have the power in yourself to get past this and make for a better life, for not only yourself, but for others as well. And if along the way you struggle to find the power in yourself, please reach out to others, be it family, friends, or professional people who can help reframe things for you and give you the emotional boost that you need to continue on your journey through life, a positive journey where you find happiness and love. And now I'm sure that this episode has brought up so many emotions in you. So let me tell you a bedtime story to help you get some rest. And this one is called The Song Sparrow by Teresa Pierce Williston. In a little old house in a little old village in Japan lived a little old man and his little old wife. One morning, when the little old woman slid open the screens which formed the sides of the Japanese houses, she saw on the doorstep a poor little sparrow. She took him up gently, and she fed him. And then she held him in the bright morning sunshine until the cold dew was dried from his wings. Afterward, she let him go, so that he might fly home to his nest. But he stayed to thank her with his songs. Each morning, the sparrow perched on the roof of the house and sang out his joy. The old man and the woman thanked the sparrow for this, for they liked to be up so early at work. But near them lived a very cross old woman who did not like to be waken up so early. At last, she became so angry that she caught the sparrow and cut his tongue. And then the poor little sparrow flew away to his home, but he could never sing again. When the very kind woman knew what had happened to her pet, she was very sad. She said to her husband, "Let us go and find our poor little sparrow." So they started together and asked each of the birds by the wayside, "Do you know where the tongue-cut sparrow went?" In this way they followed until they came to a bridge. They did not know which way to turn, and at first could not see anyone to ask. At first they saw a bat, hanging head upside down, taking his daytime nap. "O friend bat, do you know where the tongue-cut sparrow went?" "Yes, over the bridge and up the mountain," said the bat. and then he blinked his sleepy eyes and was fast asleep again. They went over the bridge and up the mountain, but again they found two roads and did not know which one to take. A little field mouse peeped through the leaves and the grass, and so they asked him, "Do you know where the tongue-cut sparrow went?" "Yes, down the mountain and through the woods," said the field mouse. Down the mountain and through the woods they went, and at last came to the home of their little friend. When he saw them coming, the poor little sparrow was very happy indeed. He and his wife all came and bowed their heads down to the ground to show their respect. Then the sparrow rose and led the old man and the old woman into the house, while his wife and children hastened to bring them boiled rice and fish and cress. After they had feasted, the sparrow wished to please them still more, and so he danced for them what is called the sparrow dance. When the sun began to sink, the old man and the woman started home. The sparrow brought out two baskets. "I would like to give you one of these," he said. "Which one will you take?" One basket was large and looked very full, while the other one seemed very small and light. The old people thought that they would not take the large basket, for that might have all the sparrow's treasure in it. And so they said, "The way is long, so please let us take the smaller one." And they took it, and they walked home over the mountain and across the bridge, happy and contented. And when they reached their own home, they decided to open the basket and see what the sparrow had given them. Within the basket, they found many rows of fine silks and piles of gold, enough to make them rich. So they were more grateful than ever to the sparrow. The cross old woman who had cut the sparrow's tongue was peering through the screen when they opened their basket, and she saw the rolls of silk and piles of gold, and planned how she might get some for herself. The next morning she went to the kind woman and said, "I am so sorry that I cut the tongue of your sparrow. Please tell me the way to his home, so that I may go to him and tell him I am sorry." The kind woman told her the way, and out she set. She went across the bridge and over the mountain and through the woods. At last, she came to the home of the little sparrow. He was not so glad to see this old woman, yet he was very kind to her and did everything to make her feel welcome. They made a feast for her, and when she started home, the sparrow brought out two baskets, as before. And of course, the woman chose the larger basket, for she thought that she would have even more wealth than the one before. It was very, very heavy and caught on the trees as she tried going through the woods. She could hardly pull it up the mountain with her, and she was all out of breath when she reached the top. She did not get to the bridge until it was dark, and then she was so afraid of dropping the basket into the river that she scarcely dared to step. When at last she finally reached her home, she was tired out, but she pulled the screens close shut so that no one could look in, and she opened up her treasure. Treasure indeed! A whole swarm of horrible creatures burst from the basket the moment that she opened it. They stung her, and they bit her, and they pushed her and pulled her and scratched her, and at last she crawled to the edge of the room and slid aside the screen to get away from the pest. The moment the door was open, they swooped down upon her and picked her up and flew away with her. Since then, nothing has been heard of the old woman, and that is the story. I do hope that that helps you to get some peace and quiet tonight. I do hope that you're able to sleep well tonight. And remember, every day is a blessing. And it is a blessing because you are the blessing in it. You are graced upon this earth to do good for not only others, but for yourself. Be happy and know that there may be trials, there may be struggles, there may be tribulations, but every day gives you a chance to make a new beginning. Every day, you need to move forward. push the negative behind, find only the positive in the day, and do positive in all your words and in all your actions. And until next time, good night, sweet one. Sleep well.